At my church in Lexington, Kentucky, our church in Lexington, Kentucky, while praying in our bedroom, I was praying in the bedroom, and I was instructed by God to go to Knoxville, Tennessee, and start a brand new church from zero, pioneer a church. He said specifically, you are not to pastor an existing church. Start from zero. I want to share these miracles today because God gets all the credit, and I share parts of it throughout the year. But when you list a lot of them together and go over them at once, you begin to see that God has worked miracle after miracle after miracle in this place, and he hasn't stopped. Amen. And you can see it. So Dottie and I drove to Knoxville to look the place over, and we're not impressed. Yay. But I decided it was not God's will for us to come, so we drove back to Lexington and just wrote it off and said, forget that. But there was something in me that would not let it go. It just kept coming back and coming back. I mean, God has a way of getting you where you need to be. So I came back to Knoxville to go to a minister's meeting where I met a lot of good ministers. And on the way back, I said, God, you have got to show me what to do. Number one, I'm wasting a lot of time driving down here. As I was driving back, I felt directed to pick up a scripture from a stack of scriptures that had been selected by Billy Graham. On some trip down to Gatlinburg, I went into one of the bookstores and found a stack of scriptures. It was a little cards with scriptures on them, and Billy Graham had chosen those. And so I just reached over while driving and reached in the stack, this thick stack, and just pulled one out. And you know, God's got a word for you. And I believe today he's got a word for you. I don't have a lot of scriptures today, but you know, it only takes one. Okay. And so to really put you in the will of God, 1 John 5:14, and it says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us, and we know if he hears, we know we have the petition we desire of him. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. I said, but Lord, I do not know what your will is. How can I ask for your will when I don't know what it is? And this thought came to my mind. He says, well, you know it's God's will for you to have, you know it's God's will for you to have his will, so just ask for his will concerning Knoxville. I said, Lord, I ask for your will concerning Knoxville right now, and I believe according to the scripture, I receive it right now. And I can't tell you what happened, but it's like a bolt of lightning, Holy Spirit lightning hit me. I'm sure if you stand on the side of the road, that little red car I was driving, a Toyota Corolla, that thing was hopping down the road because it's a great anointing. And I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt I had God's will in here, but I did not know where it was or what it was up here. And I knew I had God's will. I just wasn't sure what it was. But when God drops his will in your heart, he will perform it. He'll show you exactly what it is and how to do it. So I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt I had God's will for Knoxville. I just wasn't sure what it was. So I get back to Knoxville, and I just start doing my job as normal. And I just feel like everything has changed. It's just not the same. I no longer had the rapport with the church I had before. Things had just changed. Then I realized I had been reprogrammed for Knoxville, Tennessee. And I got in the pulpit to preach. Dottie came to me after church. She said, you better forget about Knoxville. You keep preaching like that, you'll have to leave here. Everything has just changed. It wasn't the same. And so when I told Dottie that I believed that we were going to Knoxville, she cried herself to sleep. Don't tell your wife news like that, or vice versa, your husband news like that at bedtime. And so she went and slept on the sofa, wouldn't even come into the bedroom because she was so upset. We had bought a brand new house, hadn't even lived in it in a year, just a few months. We had a brand new baby, wasn't even a year old. And the board at the church and met and gave me a real nice pay raise. How many know that's a good sign you're in the will of God? And then all of a sudden, I say, we're leaving. Okay. And so you can understand that was quite a blow. And I just shared part of this, I think, last week as an illustration for another sermon. But I had invited a guy named George Gray. We both knew. He's an outstanding man of God. And he really had the ability to hear from God himself very clearly. And he was a good speaker. And he was like the president of Full Gospel Businessmen Fellowship, I think, in Louisville. So without me knowing it, Dottie asked for a sign. She didn't tell me. And she said, Lord, if this is you, allow George Gray to say Knoxville today in his message. And he lived in Louisville. Far as she knew, he'd never been to Knoxville. And so she just sat back and listened. And right in the middle of his sermon, he said, I was saved on a train going from Knoxville to Louisville. He said it in a low voice, so she sat up straight. I was up front, she's in the back. But this is what she said. She sat up straight, said, what did he say? And then in a loud voice, he said, I said I was saved going from Knoxville to Louisville on a train. He'd been down to a football game. And so after church, Dottie was just prancing around, and she was so happy and upbeat. And I'm thinking, what happened to her? Scratching my head. After church, Dottie told me what had happened, and she was ready to go. So after Dottie and I were convinced God had called us to Knoxville, we resigned our church in Lexington, gave a 30-day notice, and spent the next 2 weeks in Knoxville looking for a house, looking for a place to have church, and couldn't find either one. And so the light's kind of shiny here. I'm on a wrinkle. Okay. And in a place, we couldn't find a place to have a church. And so I began to panic. At the end of 2 weeks, the church had elected another pastor. They weren't going to miss their chance of getting rid of me. So they elected another pastor. And I had 2 weeks, two more paychecks, and I was out. And I had a wife and a small baby and no place to live, no place to have church, no income. What are you going to do? You're probably going to panic. And that's exactly what I did. The next Monday, we drove back to Knoxville believing that God would somehow work things out. I saw a house for sale in the New Sentinel, just picked up the New Sentinel, was going through it, and I saw this house for sale on Angola Road off of Oak Ridge Highway. And so I called that guy that night when we got back into town, and I asked him if it was an FHA loan. And in case you don't know, when you don't have a job, you can't borrow money. And so I called this guy. I said, can I assume your FHA loan and you take a second mortgage with me on your equity? He said, no. And that seemed to be my last hope. And so I was just really discouraged. And we just went to bed that night very discouraged. And I didn't know what to do because I couldn't borrow money, and I was just stuck. And you know, sometimes when God really speaks to you and you step out in faith, for a moment it will look like you're stuck. You remember the children of Israel as they're leaving Egypt, they're trapped, and God's leading them. He said, well, I must have messed up. Maybe not. Sometimes God does things differently than you would. And so they were trapped between the Red Sea and a row of mountains had come down like a V. They had nowhere to go, and they looked, and here come the Egyptians with all their armed chariots and their soldiers and their bows and arrows and their spears, and they're coming down on them like a thunderstorm, like a tornado, and there's nothing they can do. They begin to scream and cry out to God, And Moses said, "Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord. These Egyptians which you've seen today shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you and you shall hold your peace." Well, God had led us here and God had not given up on us. I almost gave up on God. I went in, not really, but I was panicky. And I went in, we're staying in the house of this young preacher. He said, "If you're starting a church, I know you don't have money to get a hotel, so you can live in our basement, well, just for a few days, of course, until you get something worked out." And so we were in his basement. I got up in the middle of the night, and you've heard the story, most of you, some are new. And I was whining and crying, "Oh, God, what are we going to do?" The Lord spoke to me as clear as day. He says, "You're wrong." I said, "I'm wrong?" Have you ever asked God? I said, "I come here to start a church. I don't have a place to have church. I don't have a house. Don't have a job. Don't have any income. And you tell me I'm wrong?" He said, "You're praying out in fear and doubt. Yes, you're wrong. Now stop it." He wasn't very compassionate or sympathetic with that. When God gives you a word, he expects you to stand on it no matter what happens. So I got up the next, and I didn't know how do you stop it? How do you stop a panic attack? I didn't know how, so I just started praising God. I've learned a lot since I've been here. And man, if you're having problems like that, just stop and praise God. Just praise God. And I began to praise God, got my faith back, went back to bed, woke up excited. The panic was gone, the fear was gone, and I was excited. I woke Dottie up. I said, "Let's go see what God's going to do." And so we took off, drove by a radio station. There's only two here then. There's about 10 now. We got two of them. But anyway, I went to this radio station that I had. Now, here's the truth. I've been there one time before, and the guy refused to sign me up because I didn't have a job. So you got to do what God tells you to do. So God told me to go back. And so I went back, walked in, talked to him. He signed me up for a year's contract, knowing I didn't have any money to pay for it. He changed his mind, or God changed his mind. Then we drove by the Ramada Inn, the old Ramada Inn. They just tore it down, what, a year or two ago? Right across the West Town Mall. It was the best place in Knoxville to have a church. Thing even looked like a church. It looked a lot more like a church than this. I mean, it had big old columns out front. So I went in and talked to this lady. Now, I'm trying to add a few things I haven't in the past. And I had been there before, two or three times, if I remember correctly. And the lady that was in charge of sales that rented the rooms, she wasn't there. And so this time, now remember, this is all happening one day. I walked in and she's there. I told her what I wanted to do. She showed me a room. One time we had 225 people in that room. It was packed, but we were able to get that many in chairs. So that wasn't a small room. And she said, "You can have it for $35 a day." That meant we could have Sunday morning services and evening services on Sunday for $35. I'd been to many of their hotels, and they wanted $350 per service. $700 a day. Now, you explain to me what happened. Boy, y'all are really spiritual people. I went back out the car. I said, "Dottie, God's doing something. Let's just keep going." And so we drove over to that house where the guy told me he would not carry a second mortgage. I walked in and talked to him. He was there. And he was cleaning the house. And his wife was a realtor, and they lived right across the street here. They lived in Belmont West. And she was a realtor, and he bought and sold houses. And he'd rent them and sell them. And so I caught him there at the house. And look at God's timing. And so I went through my deal again, and I said, "I do not have the ability to borrow money. I need to assume this loan, and I need you to carry a second mortgage of $6,000 on this house." And he said, "Okay." Changed his mind, and he charged me $50 a month on that $6,000 second mortgage, and $50, And the interest was 12, he wanted 12% interest. You said, whoa, that's highway robbery. No, that was good then. FHA loan interest was 22%, 21 and 22%. If you think things are bad now, I mean, it was something else then when we were trying to start this church. And so when he got home over here, I went to his house because I had to go get a key. But his wife said, what in the world were you thinking about? I said, this is crazy. I said, this $50 don't even cover the interest. He said, I don't know. He said, I just felt like helping the guy. So, I'm trying to remember a few things I hadn't shared before. And so, anyway, I said, look, is it okay if I put a telephone in this house today? We had to get back to Lexington. And he said, well, sure, you can put a telephone in. You just bought it. Okay. And so I called the phone company and ran down to a pay phone. Y'all remember what those were? I'll make a picture of, if I got a picture, I'll bring it and show you next week what they look like. But I found a pay phone and called the phone company and I said, is it possible for us to get a telephone in next year's Yellow Pages and get it today? And they said, well, as a matter of fact, today's the last day. It's the deadline for getting an ad in next year's Yellow Pages. And I know y'all don't know what those are, Yellow Pages. But back then, if you didn't have your church listing, Yellow Pages, nobody's going to come to your church. I mean, you had to be in the Yellow Pages. And so I said, is it possible? And they said, yes, if you can get here before 4 o'clock. The deadline is 4 o'clock today. Do y'all see how close I come to missing the whole thing? Because I panicked, then fear. And God knew he had to rebuke me to get me out of that. Because I was going to miss it. Amen. Listen, pay attention to what the Holy Spirit's saying to you. I am not just telling stories. I'm telling you how to hear from God and be successful in life. And when you hear from God, you know you hear from God. I don't care if the whole world falls apart. You stand still and grin. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And if God rebukes you, thank God. Yeah. And Lord, rebuke me anytime I need it, please. You save my hide. So anyway, it was 3 o'clock, and we were way up on a pretty good distance up, well, it's on the far end of Western Avenue, Oak Ridge Highway. And boy, we hopped in the car, and we flew down there. Guess what? We didn't have an Oxford Christian Center, didn't have any money. And so I went in, and they said, it'd be $100, please. And so I just had to write a personal check. And didn't have a job, didn't have money, and there went another $100. And so all of a sudden I realized in one day I had a radio broadcast, and God told us to be on the radio 8 days before we started the church. Radio has been the most important part of this church all these years, and it still is. That's why we have to have these radio stations. God said, do it. He says, do it. You're out of options. And so God's using these radio stations, and I don't know that God's finished with those radio stations yet. We may even have more. Can you say amen? But anyway, and one day I had a broadcast on a radio station, contract for a year. I had a place to have church, one of the prettiest, best-looking places for church in Knoxville at the time, that had a nice house off of Oak Ridge Highway and had a phone listen and the Yellow Pages for next year, all in one day. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Got one excited person. Well, one more big obstacle in our way. We owned a house in Lexington. W.L. Rogers, Bob Rogers' father, and actually he became more like my father than my own father. And he drove down here and rode around Knoxville with me. And he said, Barry, no matter what you do, do not buy a house in Knoxville and do not move to Knoxville till you sell that house in Lexington, because you could wind up in Knoxville making two house payments. How many know that is wisdom? Did I do it? No. Because God told me to get down here. And I knew it was God. So I just went ahead and resigned the church and started making plans and bought a house uh-oh, forgot about that house. Yay. And so I called some realtors there in Lexington, and I said, I need to sell this house quickly. And they laughed at me. I mean, literally. They said, it's taken 6 months to a year to sell a house in that price range in this city. I mean, the interest rates were through the roof, 22, 21% with FHA. And other rates, of course, was out of sight. And said, it takes at least 6 months to a year to sell a house like that. I said, well, forget you. Because I had to sell that house now. So I got me a little sign stuck in the front yard for sale. And God told me to call the ladies in the church and ask them if they knew of anyone that would buy my house. Now, how many think that makes sense? I thought, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life. Why just call the ladies? Ain't no God smarter than you. So I began to call the ladies. And one after another, no, Barry, Pastor Barry, we do not know anybody that was by your house. And I just went through a great long list, and all of a sudden I just felt like it's time to stop. I stopped calling. And that night I got a call from this realtor. He said, I was just over to Shirley's store. She owned a store just outside of Knoxville. And he said, I was over there talking to her. I said, I know her, and she told me that she told me you had a house for sale because you called her. And I said, yes, I do. He says, well, I was just driving up and down. Now, he's a realtor. He said, I was just driving up and down your street last night with a couple that wants to buy a house in that neighborhood. And it was dark, and my sign wasn't lit up. So they didn't see my sign. And he says, I believe if you'll give me a one-showing contract, I've got that house sold. I mean, we just got back to Lexington. And God is working everything out. And so now I begin to get cocky. Realtors make 6%. I said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I said, I'll give you one time showing for 4%. I'll pay you 4%. He said, okay. It's just a one time showing. So normally you split the 6% anyway and get 3%. And he's going to get 4%. So it's a good deal for him, good deal for me. I mean, thank God you got a good businessman for pastor. Thank you, Jesus. Well, any decision I make is God. But anyway, any of the good ones. Any of the good ones. Quit laughing, Stan. Any of the good ones. Those thoughts and ideas came from God. And so he came over, showed it to the young couple, and they bought the house. And we were now on our way to Knoxville. So we loaded U-Haul, and came and started from zero. And God began to work. See if I can find my place. I got notes here, but I just start preaching and start talking from memory. So we stayed at the Ramada Inn for a total of 4.5 years. And this is another great miracle. There's a for sale sign on this property somewhere about where this building is. And so we called them, and they said, yes, it's for sale. And so our men came over, and we put up a tent back there next to the row of trees, and they camped out there and prayed for 3 days over this property. At the end of 3 days, we called the guys that were selling it, and they said, we changed our mind. We're going to build condos on that property. We're not selling it. So we packed up our tent and left. And, but how many know, if it's God, it's God. And so we were looking around, and so I went over to Volunteer Realty, and Gordon Smith was my contact with that group of people, and he was one of the partners, and multimillionaire, probably, I don't know, very wealthy guy, but he became a good friend of mine. And I walked into his realty building, and he was in the back. There's a lot of people in there. And he saw me, and he motioned me, Barry, come over here. I went over, and he says, my partners in that property decided to sell it because the United American Bank went insolvent, and the new bank, First Tennessee, called the long due, and we got a note on it. That note is due. They decided to sell the property. If you want to buy the property, you can buy it. Listen, if God tells you to buy a piece of property, even if a big bank has to go down, got to get that property for you. Can you say amen? You're sitting on a miracle right here. in the natural, we'd never got this. And it's the best location for a church in Knoxville. We're 2 minutes from the two major expressways and two of the most important expressways in America, 75 all the way north to south, and 40 all the way from the Atlantic to the Pacific, and it's 2 minutes away. Can you see when you begin to stack these miracles on one on top of another, this thing is ordained of God. It is ordained of God. And so right after, but Dottie was pregnant when the men were camped out back there with Sabrina. And when she's born, she's born with a major heart condition. And so now what? He just started the church, don't have property, trying to buy property, 2 years old. And now you got a baby born with a major heart condition. And during open heart surgery, I read the policy, the insurance policy, and she wasn't on the policy. They had in the very back, real small print, they said, if you have a baby, it has to be put on the policy within 30 days. Well, what parent would not want their baby put on a policy? They put that in there on purpose, hoping we'd miss it, and I missed it. So now we had a big hospital bill. Open heart surgery. And we don't have hardly the money to survive, let alone pay that big bill. So I called the Department of Insurance. And you know what they told me? I said, well, you should have put her on the policy. I called a lawyer, best insurance lawyer in town. He said, well, you should have put her on the policy. And I was really upset with myself. I'm thinking, you really blew it. How many know sometimes you feel like this is my fault? I don't deserve God's help. You ever been there? Right. I caused this. I don't deserve God's help. I was beating myself up. I was in the bedroom praying. And all of a sudden, I heard this scripture in the back of my mind. It says, and he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways and to bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. What did that say? They'll bear you up even if you dash your foot against a stone. They'll bear you up even if you make a mistake. And the Lord spoke to me as clear as day. He said, I'm going to send my angels to Frankfort, Kentucky. I got Tennessee on my brain. I'm going to send my angels to Frankfort, Kentucky, to that Department of Insurance, and I'm going to get that insurance back for you. Get the baby on your policy. And a year drug by. And I'm standing in faith. I'm learning, don't move off of your faith. Put both feet down and stand. Almost a year to the day, I got a phone call from the Department of the Insurance and said, we changed our mind. He said, you'll be getting a call from the insurance company. Guess what? The insurance called, surrendered, and paid the bill. Big bill. Well, God blessed us. We got this property. And God just has worked one miracle after another. And we built it. We sold bonds, built this, the first building, which is the gym over here. And then the apartments over here, we were here first. They built those apartments, and they had lumber left over. So they gave us the lumber, and we built that nursery wing back there. And a lot of the men in the church did a lot of that work. And then I don't know exactly what happened, but we were trying to raise money, pay the parking lot, and all of a sudden things just weren't working out right. And a spirit of confusion came over me, and I decided the best thing for the Knoxville Christian Center was for us to get a new pastor, get a good pastor that knew what he was doing. And I'm not going to ask you how many wished I'd done that. But I was so confused. I took Dottie and the kids. We went to another city, and we picked out in a big city and picked out a Ramada Inn, and we were done with Knoxville. We was going to start over. And so I went to McDonald's on Monday morning, fast day. I was sitting there praying. Now, thus saith the Lord. Let me know I'm a prophet. Thus saith the Lord. If you go to McDonald's on fast day and drink a lot of coffee, you will go to the bathroom. I went to the bathroom, and when I came out, the place was jammed full of people. And it's the McDonald's right up here on Kingston Pike. Just past, if you're going east on Kingston Pike, you go past the mall. It's right there on the right. And so this guy jumped straight up. He pointed his finger at me. He said, "Are you a pastor?" I said, "Me? Yes, you." I said, "Yes." He said, "You been thinking about quitting your church?" I said, "It's Monday morning, man. Every pastor quits on Monday morning." He said, "You're the one. Come outside." I followed the guy outside. Just the two of us. He said, "Thus saith the Lord, the grass is not greener on the other side of the fence. I called you to be a watchman over this city, and you are not to leave." I was so confused and messed up, I went back home and I told Dottie, I said, "The devil wants me to stay in this city so bad he sent a nut to McDonald's to tell me to stay." I still didn't believe that I was supposed to stay. And you think you have problems. Listen, when you're serving God, the devil's going to do everything he can to destroy you. And he'll use you to do it. If God puts you in his church, you better not leave. I don't care who hurts your feelings. You better stay here. Hey, if I have to stay here, so do you. But anyway, Monday I'm laying on the bed praying. I said, and I had Bob Rogers. Bob Rogers have been friends, you know, over 50 years. And I called Bob. I said, "Bob, help me find a pastor that can pastor the church, that do a good job." And he knows everybody in most of the world. And we couldn't find anybody to even come look at it. It's a pretty good deal. I mean, nice piece of property, decent income. We weren't bankrupt by no stretch of the imagination. And we were doing pretty good, but nobody even looked at it. And I'm laying on the bed, and I think, "God, is there no one who can pastor this church?" And I heard a voice say, "Yes." I said, "Who is it?" Great long pause. And he said, "You." So, ladies and gentlemen, this is a death sentence. This is a death sentence. But anyway, he said, "I've made you a watchman over the city." And you know, I've never thought about that until I'm praying over this message. And you know what? God called us in 82 to start these citywide concerts, and we did them, I think, for over 30 years. About everybody in this city at one point or the other, if they've been here very long, has been in this church or in one of our concerts. I mean, in some ways, we have been a watchman. We have been influencing people all over this city. And then we started these vacation Bible schools, giant vacation Bible schools. The last several years, we had a total enrollment of over 2,000. Can you imagine? In a sense, we were watchmen over the city, over the families and over the children. God was using us in all kinds of ways to teach the Word of God to all these kids and these families. And then God told us to buy these radio stations. And you're talking about being a watchman. I mean, we're preaching the gospel day and night, preaching and singing the gospel day and night through those radio stations. So God has, in a lot of ways, used it. You can call it a watchman or whatever you want to call it. But God has used us to influence this city more than probably any other church. And we certainly are not the biggest. During the COVID pandemic, when I was thinking about rebelling against the governor and the mayor, the Lord spoke to me. He said, "I want you to submit to authority. Stream your services, put them on the radio, and you reach more people now than you ever have, or than you have. And so we started doing that, and now we're reaching people even in other states. Amen. And so I believe God is just beginning. Let's all stand.